Okay, so let us begin the Wednesday night Vad, brand new Zman, and new Sefer Bereishis, which is always exciting. We're going to learn a piece from the Haftarah of this week's Parsha, Parshas Nayach, from Rav Pinkus. And in the Haftarah it says, and this is why, of course, we lay in this particular Haftarah, the Shabbos, these few five words, Ki Mei Nayach Zais Li. Because it's the waters of Nayach. What does it mean, the waters of Nayach? In other words, the Mabul is attributed to Nayach. Nayach, it's called, he's the proud owner of the Mabul, Mei Nayach. And Chazal, which is the Zayar in Bereishis, learns from here, Shetavu es Nayach al HaMabul, V'lachei Nikra HaMabul al Shemai Mei Nayach. There was a Tviya on Nayach. Nayach is blamed for the Mabul, which is a Pella, because he seems in this parasha to be the big hero. He was the one good guy in the world, and he was saved, and because of Nayach's tzidkos, we're all here, and the animals are all here, and everybody survived because of Nayach. He comes out smelling like roses from the parasha, but then the Haftarah comes along and castigates him and lays the blame of the entire Mabul at Nayach's feet, and that's a very strange thing. So, v'l'chayr b'nei darish achatu b'gezel v'arayis, heima Hashem b'gzar din shel akalya. You're blaming Nayach for the Mabul. You should have blamed it on all the people that did the gezel and the chamas and the arayis. That's who should be. It should be called kimeya dara Mabul zaisli. U'madua nitva Nayach shayet tzadik b'dar al masayim. So why in the world are we blaming poor Nayach? Umevuar, so Rav Pinkus says that we learn from here that kivan shahayat tzadik tamim hayelay lispal avakesh racham al dayra umshalay bikesh nikra mabul al shemay. So the simple understanding is that it's true that Nayach didn't cause the people of his generation to sin. They did that all on their own. But there was a taina on Nayach that since he was the tzadik hadar, he should have davened for his generation that they should be saved. And by the fact that he didn't obviously daven well enough, if he davened at all, so because of that, we call the Mabul al Shemai. Bir HaDavar, what does this mean? Shari la'acher ha-mabul kishayatzanech me'atev ras ha-churban. So here comes Rav Pinkus. That's, up until now, is something that we would have all been able to put together, right? We have the Zayar that says that it's Mei Nayach. He was blamed for the fact that there was a Mabul because he should have davened. So that we understand. But here comes the brilliance of Rav Pinkus, and he's going to explain to us what the Aimek HaDavar is. What's the depth of the matter? What is Nayach? Why is he to blame for what happened? And once we understand what Nayach did wrong, we're going to get a brand new perspective on tefillah. And Rav Pinkus is the master of tefillah in our generation. Rav Pinkus wrote in his lifetime. A lot of the svarim that we have, including this one, that we're learning from, was put together after he tragically died in that car accident that we spoke about at the beginning of this month. He was a young man. He was, I don't know how old he was, maybe he was 60. And he was like, everybody knew he was the next Gadol Hadar, and he died very tragically. It was a very big shock to, you know, but his Torah became very great after he died. His svarim became bestsellers, and they took all the tapes from all of his shirim that he gave all over the world, and they put it into writing, and those were all the svarim, and now the English svarim are bestsellers. But he put out a few svarim of his own before he died, and one of them is called Sha'arim B'Tfilah, Gateways of Tfilah, and in that he describes the different nuances of Tfilah, and the different types of Tfilah, and there's different ways that Tfilah is described throughout Tanakh. And, you know, there's tefillah, and there's za'aka, and there's rina, and there's different ways of describing tefillah. And the Sefer basically uses those different ways of these descriptions of tefillah to explain the different components and facets of tefillah. So Rav Pinkus is definitely very qualified to teach us a lesson or two about tefillah, and we're going to see an amazing one this evening. Bir adavar, sher la'achar ha'mabol, kishiyatza neach me'atev ras ha'chorban. The mabol comes to an end, and the waters recede, and now Neach comes out of the teva, and he sees, imagine the scene, he walks out of a teva, he sees a world destroyed. The world is completely, there's nothing left of the world, if you can imagine. There's no, all that he remembers seeing in the world is gone. There's no animals, there's no human beings, there's no buildings, there's nothing. It's a world that is completely like a brand new, it's like Adma Rishon's view of the world on the sixth day of Bereshis. Like there's nothing. It was a brand new world. And Nis'ayr b'b'chi, what did Nayach do? What was his reaction? He begins to cry. V'hikriv karbanis Hashem Yisparach, and he brings a karban. That's all in this in the parasha this week. Me'reach hanichayach shel karbanis Nayach, and the karbanis let forth aroma, the smoke of the karbanis that rose from the sacrifices. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got tremendous nachas ruach. There was a reach nichayach. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore, Shel yav yed mabel l'shachas, he's never going to again bring a mabel down on the world. K'mei sh'ne'emar, v'yarach es reach nichayach. V'al kach nitva nayach. This is what the tain of nayach was. Hine kasher nisayrarta l'tfila ulisratzais, Yadata lahakriv karbanis l'nachasir l'shem yisparach. When you wanted to daven, you knew how to daven. You were great at davening. You davened. You were even more than davening. You brought karbanis. You knew exactly how to be makar of those karbanis. You brought a k'tairis with a karbanis. You were, everything was l'reach nichayach takadish baruch. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew how to daven. You knew how to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But
Baki, explain why he bought Kobanov why I can give me 7 of some and 12 others.
Do you what?
Bring 7 of some and 12 others.
Okay. There's different panim latayra. This is not necessarily going with Rashi, okay? So he says, now you know how to bring karbanis takadosh baruch hu. Ubekaychacha hishpata sheyishpa Hashem yisparach, sheyisva Hashem yisparach, sheyishpa Hashem yisparach, sheyayid mabel. With your kayach, you were able to, you know, to pull off a big, big thing. You're able to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to actually swear that he will never bring a mabel. That's a big score. That's something that's a big feather in Nayach's cap. Im kein madua lo his alesa ledarga zu kaidem amabel. I don't understand, Nayach. If you had all that potential to bring nachas ruach to the Rabbi Nisham, to be makar of a karban, to daven to him, and you see the power of your tefillah, you know that you have that power. You know that you have the ability to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your corner, as it were, to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu swear that another mabul wouldn't happen. Madua lai bikashta rachamim bidmai shalish kaidim gizardin v'ayisa yachal avatlai. If Nayach had not responded to the mabul when he came out like that, then we wouldn't blame him for the mabul. We blame him for the mabul precisely because he showed after the mabul that he's a bal tefillah. He knows how to daven. He knows how to daven. He knows how to be a merat to the Rabbeinu Shlom. Why did you do it post facto? Why did you do it after the fact? Where were you before? You had 120 years to build a teva, to make people do tshuva. You weren't successful in Kira, fine, but obviously you're good at tefillah. If you're good in tefillah, where were you? Why didn't you stop the mabul from happening beforehand? And that's the taina that we have against Nayach. That's why, says Reb Pinkus, the mabul is blamed on Nayach on a certain level, because he should have stopped. He couldn't stop. Oh yes, he could have. How do you know? Because look at what he did after the mabul. After the mabul, you see the power of Nayach. So where were you before the mabul? Pinchas says that this yesaid we find elsewhere. Chazal say on the pasuk of Al Narais Bavel, Sham Yashavnu Gamar. This is an amazing. This is a medrash that everybody. I want to also make a mental note to remember this for the in the summer when you're sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av and you want to like cry. This is an amazing medrash to cry with. The pasuk says Al Narais Bavel by the rivers of Babylon, Sham Yashavnu Gambachino. There we sat. And we also cried. And here's the medrash. Listen to this medrash. Shekisharo bnei hagalos, sheyirmiyah navi pirish mehem. When the people of the galos, they saw that Yirmiyah navi was staying away from them, he was leaving them. Go kulam bebechiyah v'tzavchu. Rabbeinu Yirmiyah, hari atam menichani, you're leaving us, you're abandoning us. Shambachu, we cried over there. Shenemar al naris babo shambachinu. Ana Yirmiyah va'amar lahem, Yirmiyah said to them, Me'ed ani alai shamayim aretz, I swear by the heaven and the earth, Ilu b'chisem b'chia achas, ashe yisem b'tziyayin, loigalisem. You're crying now? Now you wake up and you start crying? After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Yirmiyah says, I'm taking a shvua. That had one of you guys shed a single tear, you don't have to cry for 1,000 years, shed a single tear. If there would have been one single solitary tear that was shed genuinely before the Churban, crying to the Rabbeinu Shlom to stop the Churban, if you would have cried beforehand, it would have been prevented. This is what Yirmiyah Navi says. Besides Yirmiyah himself, there was no regular person that was actually crying before the Churban about what would happen. Yirmiyah HaNavi was warning them. He was giving them nevuah after nevuah, every day telling them, you have to do tshuva, this is not good, things are going to get really bad, and there's going to be terrible catastrophe that befalls Klal Yisrael unless we turn the ship around. Nobody listened, nobody cared, everybody was complacent, and it ain't going to happen, and the world is going to just continue going on as is. They didn't listen to the Nevi'im. And had they shed one tear, tshuva, b'chia, tzaka, there would be no Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's the power of a tear, by the way. You know, if you ever want to know, like, what's the power of bechi, if you want to cry during davening, that is a very powerful thing. Very powerful to cry during. I saw once a story that there was an old grandmother who was, she died. And she left in her will that, she had money, she said, all my grandchildren get $5,000, and this one granddaughter, Sprincy, whatever, she gets $25,000 in her will. And they couldn't figure out, what's Sprincy so good, you know, what's the yichus of Sprincy over everybody else? We're all grandchildren. So they found a letter in her drawer with after she died. And she says, you're probably wondering why Sprincy gets $25,000 and everybody got five. She says, because once I was telling a story about my life, all the grandchildren sitting around my chair and they were all listening. I was telling a story about during the war, what happened to me and my husband and, you know, all the things that we went through during the Milchama and all the kids were listening with rapt attention, but Sprincy, she was crying while I was telling the story. So everybody like was into it, but she, with her tear, showed me that she really, really cared about me. And that's worth an extra 20 grand. And that's, I mean, if that's true for a human being, it's certainly true for the Rabbeinu Shlom. If you really wanna make your tefillah that much more powerful, then you should cry. I have a, I don't want to. It's a little too personal, and I don't want it to get out online. But I had a maisa recently that I went to the Ribnitzer Rebbe's kever on his yard site. The Ribnitzer Rebbe's yard site, I think, was Isru Chag of Sukkot. So I went with my family. We went on a trip to Muncie, and there were thousands of chassidim there. It was amazing. It was big tents set up, and they had minchas going on. It was like a huge, huge gathering. There were, I don't know, probably 100,000 people over the course of the day that came to daven there. And the Ribnitz Rebbe's tefillas, the Tadama, the Ribnitz Rebbe's kever, is like, it's known. I'm not a huge kever guy, but it's known to be Pal Yeshua's. And I've had it a few times that I went there, I davened, and things worked out. So, anyway, so I was davening there with as much kavanah as I could muster. And the thing that I was davening for happened. Like, within a few days, whatever, there's somebody that was very, very sick, and he needed a surgery, and Baruch Hashem, he texted me, like, the next day. I went to daven for him, pretty much, and he texted me the next day that the surgeons, you know, the test came back, that the surgery that they thought I needed, which was a very dangerous procedure, was totally not necessary, and the Rabbi Nisham turned everything around. And I'm not saying that it's all because of my tefillos, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. And not in my schlus, but in the Ribnitzer schlus. And those were, and I daven taka with Bechi. It's a very powerful form of tefillah. Whatever your tefillah is, if you can throw some genuine tears into the mix, it makes it nuclear. It's a tremendously different experience. Now, so this is a similar medrash. This medrash is very similar, because this medrash is basically saying that your miyo is saying that if you would just daven after after the Churban, then that would have saved the Churban. Now you're crying? It's like what's the expression that you close the barnyard gate after the horses are out or something? You know, like, the horses are, you come out, the horses are all gone, they all escaped, and now you lock the gate. Shkai, what are you doing now? Now it's not a kunst to lock the gate. You should have locked the gate beforehand. Nayach, the taina against him was that you should have davened beforehand. Don't daven after. Daven before. If you could daven like this after, imagine what your tefillos would do beforehand. You could have saved the dar with your tefillah. We don't realize the power of tefillos. But Nayach's tefillah was so powerful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you would have just opened up your mouth and davened for them beforehand, it would have changed the entire world. You would have saved the world literally. He brings a story. Uzichurani shebi aldusi kashoyisi kam milimudi achre shalamadidi basmada. I remember once when I was a little kid, and I got up once from learning after I learned with tremendous hasmada. So let's say he was sitting in his house and he was learning, 10 hours straight. Haya aimerli avi. My father, I came into the other room. My father was there. He was observing that my hasmada was great. So you think, what's the father going to do? He says, come, let's go out for a slurpee, right? As a reward. He says, no. He says, Ka'es magiyas l'chamakas. I should give you a patch now. Why? I should give you a patch? I just learned 10 hours straight. What do you want from me? He says, Hine rayim shekasher ata reitze. Because now I see that when you really want to, ata yachol. When you want to learn, you can learn ganz fine. Meaning all the excuses that we keep making for ourselves, that we can't. But you show once in a while that you can. Now there's already going to be a taina on us. Well, then, if you can now, you could have then, and why didn't you? Imkein lamaloi lamadata basmada gamesva vashulshim. Asaynes kairim kadesh nitzdar v'nitzayr lisbav v'lizek l'akadosh baruch hu. Why do accidents happen? Why do tragedies befall Klal Yisrael? Nebuch, we have tragedy after tragedy, like crazy stuff constantly going on. I thought that with Rosh Hashanah, all of the tragic boating accidents and the water accidents that we had this past summer would be Tich L'Shan V'Kil L'Seah, but then, like, on Chalamayid, a great-grandchild of the Skver Rebbe drowned in a boating accident, Rechman Litzlan. We have so many of these wake-up calls. And what happens after these things happen? We become very upset. We daven, we cry, we scream. Elishem zua matara, but if that's the purpose, hare ilu hayinu zayikim l'kadosh baruch hu lufnei ha'asayin hayinu yichayim l'mnayas ha'mikra naira. We could actually stop tragedy beforehand. I once met in Eretz Yisrael a balabas from Flatbush, and he has basically one mission in life. He wants people to, like, kailo guys, young rabbeim, and in general, people in general, to buy life insurance. That's his mission. He's not in the life insurance business. But he basically goes around and he goes and talks to every, he talked to me about this 10 times. And I have life insurance, Baruch Hashem, but like, you know, every time he bumps into me, he sells me, I say, you don't have to sell me, I bought it. He said, what type did you buy? You need to get this instead of that and this, and right now this company is having a good, you know, like he's completely shakua in this thing. He says, what happens is, and it's good for you to know also, Taco, when you get married, to keep this in mind, because 1,000% true. When you're young and you buy life insurance, it's very cheap. You could buy at your age, assuming you know that you're healthy and everything is good, you could buy, let's say, $1 million of life insurance for a couple hundred dollars a year. And $1 million for a couple hundred dollars, not a lot of money, a few hundred dollars. You know, you buy, you know, you go out to a fancy restaurant, it's $100, $200. So for that, you can get $1 million of life insurance. So what happens? Sometimes you read in the paper, not sometimes, every day, come out, every week, you read in the paper, if you're on the From, you know, websites, the Matzav or whatever, it's all these banner ads about these, you know, Avrechim that died and leaving over Yisaimim, and, you know, they're raising money on GoFundMe and this and that. How much do they have to raise? They have to raise, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Millions of hard-earned dollars have to be raised for these. If you give $100, if this guy would have bought $100 worth of insurance beforehand, you know, he'd be a millionaire when he dies. And they wouldn't have to make all these campaigns to raise hundreds of thousands, millions of Jewish dollars, you know, that could go to other purposes, and now it has to be diverted to this tzarech. And it's a very similar thing to what we're talking about. If you daven before tragedy strikes, nobody scratches and says, hey, let's make a kinnis tefillah before Eretz Yisrael is having problems. Everybody, you know, when Eretz Yisrael, Achman al-San, had problems, so, you know, when there's terrorism, when there's stabbings, when there's Scud missiles, whatever it is, Klal Yisrael's getting together, we're davening, we're, you know, za'aka and this and that, and people have to die, and people has to be bloodstream flowing in the streets of Yerushalayim to get people to wake up. If we would daven, if we would make once in a while a kinnis tefillah for Eretz Yisrael, now when things are relatively calm, we don't know how much that would save, you know, in terms of what we don't know. The problem is we don't know what we're saving when we daven. We only know the reality on the ground when tragedy strikes. Okay, now we know we need to daven. But if we would daven before any tragedy strikes, if you daven for yourself and for your parents and for your family and for your, you know, that everybody should be held. When you say Refaenu, what are you davening for? If you're good, you know, and you have the peace of mind, you have like a list or you have people in mind that are chaylim, you daven for them. How about by Refaenu, you say, I'm davening even the people that are healthy should have a refuah. Don't wait for, once a person, Rahman al-Islam, gets very sick, it's a hard thing to do to, you know, to turn the matzv around. But how about I daven for everybody that are healthy, that they should stay healthy? Nobody thinks to do that. We think that tefillah is a reaction to crisis. There's a crisis, okay, a Jew pulls out his tefillin. Not necessarily. A Jew should be pulling out his tefillin before the crisis. Because if you could daven before the trouble start, you could spare yourself so much tzaras in the future. What's going to take $1 million of schusim to avert the tragedy after the tragedy has already started, you could do for a couple of pennies before the tragedy starts with just davening like a mensch beforehand. Ilo ayinu boichem esmel, had we cried yesterday, La hayayim es ha'asin shkein hamatara kvar husaga im kain gedayla hatviya aleinu lamlai b'chin esmo. Just like there was a tviya on Nayach, the whole mabul in a way is blamed on Nayach and Naftaira. There's also going to be a tviya on us, because we could have averted a lot of the crises, a lot of the tragedies, had we davened in advance. It's a new way of davening. It's not a davening like we're used to. We daven because we need something, or we're trying to rid ourselves of some bad, you know, thing that suddenly started coming against us. We have a, you know, we're not doing so well in school, or somebody's not being nice to us, or there's a financial problem, or there's a health problem. That's the normal way of davening. We have to daven as a reaction to something. But if we would actually be able to daven for things when things are good, then that's a much easier way to ensure that things stay good. It's a very big chiddush in tefillah. It's actually a Gemara. The Gemara says, and that's what he's going to say in the last paragraph, that a Chavetz Chaim Zatzal haya ragel ha'ira sheish li zar lispal l'vakish b'kavan b'shash ha'tayv l'adam v'u b'shalva. You should daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom, especially when things are good for you. That's when, you know, when things are good, what do? We just like daven up the davening. We just do a, you know, 18-minute davening, a 2-minute Shemayna Esrei, just like everything is, because I don't need the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. What should I daven for? I don't know anyone that's sick. Baruch Hashem, I don't need parnasa. Baruch Hashem, you know, I got everything going for me. I'm doing well in yeshiva. Everything is fine, so I don't need to daven. The Chavetz Chaim says you should dafka daven when things are good. Just like you're davening with all those tears when there's somebody that's sick. Here's the Gemara. La'olam yaktim adam tfila l'tzara. You should always precede the tefillah to the tzara. Don't wait for the tzara to hit and then daven. You should daven before the tzara hits, and that's a life insurance against the tzara happening. So I said, you want to avoid all the machlas, rachman al-tzlan, all the terrible diseases and accidents and tragedies. Why do you think Hashem brings upon us these tragedies? He wants to wake us up. He wants us to daven because we're not daven. We're just coasting again. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends these wake-up calls in the forms of drowning, burnings, cancer, tumors, all these terrible things, because it's supposed to like shake us up to the core a little bit and get us to daven like a mensch to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So the Chavetz Chaim says, well, if that's the whole purpose, then there's a much easier way to for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get his due as it is, and that is by davening even when things are good. If the whole point of the tzaris is to wake us up, so if he sees that we're woken up without the tzaris, he won't send the tzaris. Aleinu lispal achshav. The Chavetz Chaim says, daven now when things are good. And that way the tragedies will not befall us, because there won't be a need for tragedies. Tragedies are not just accidents. Accidents is a way of the Yetzirah to explain away things. So there was a terrible car accident. What does it mean, a car accident? Accident means, don't look into it too deeply. It's just an accident. It's just coincidence. It's like B'mikra. It's not a car accident. It's a car tragedy. And the tragedy came because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, feels that we need to be woken up. So if we're able to see that as being true, and we want to avoid that, very easy way to avoid it. Daven like you mean it when things are good. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't have to do any wake-up calls. And there's a story I wanted to share with you. There was two people that went to the Kaisel one day. This is going back a number of years ago. And they were two very powerful men. One was a very wealthy Jew, very, very wealthy. And the other was a person that had very big medical connections. Like he had a very big medical referral service in Eretz Yisrael. He basically was hooked up to every hospital, every good doctor in the country, and he had everything that you'd need medically, he's the guy to go to. So here you have like a tag team of like a very wealthy guy, like a billionaire, and a guy that's very political, very, very medically connected. And they're standing by the Kaisel and they see this Hasidish guy. And Hasidish guy is like crying, like crazy, screaming, crying, tears are flowing. And they look at him like Nebuch, like what is he? He looks like he's going through terrible tzaras. So they say to one another, these two prominent Jews, listen, what's he crying about, this Yid? He's crying probably for one of two reasons. Either he has parnasa issues, he probably has a big family, and, you know, Nebuch, he probably doesn't make enough parnasa, and he needs a lot of yeshuas, and, you know, people are, the bills are mounting, he's in debt, and he needs who knows what. Or something medically seems to be wrong, and he has to, he needs some major tipul in the medical department. Maybe he has a child that's sick, maybe he's sick. So they make a tkias kaf between the two of them. They basically shake on it. They say, listen, let's do something together for this guy. We're put here for a reason. If it's a money thing, the rich guy says, I'll take care of it. Whatever it costs, I'm going to foot the bill. And if it's a medical problem, then you're going to take care of it because you have all the access to the doctors and the surgeons and kupat cholim and everything. You're going to take care of his medical issue if it's a medical issue. So they wait. They said, fine. So they waited for him to finish davening, and he was crying. He was going for like an hour. They waited patiently. And when he was done, they approached him and they said, Reb Yid, we can't help but notice that your life is obviously really bad because you're crying like you were by the Kaisel for an hour. And and then they explain, you know, I'm a rich guy and he's a big medical guy. What is it that you need? You need money or you need medical? Which one are you crying about? So this Hasidic guy looks at them. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. So come on, you share, you know, share it. You know, I know it's personal, but we're going to take care of you. He says, no, I wasn't crying over a crisis. He says, so why in the world would you be crying like this? So he says, I have 10 children, and last night I was zeichet to marry off my last child. And I'm so overwhelmed with gratitude to the Rabbeinu Shalom that I felt drawn to the Kaisel, and I was crying tears of Shevach and Haidah to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what I was doing for the last hour. I wasn't crying for a tragedy. I was crying because everything is so good. And I was crying tears of gratitude to the Rabbeinu Shalom for making things good for me. Tefillah is very powerful when things are bad, but if things are good, and hopefully they are, now's the time to really daven with kavana and daven with tears. Because if you want the things to continue to be good, if you want to avoid Rachman Litzan tragedy striking and having to, you know, go through some major turmoil in life in order to wake us up, it's far easier, better, nicer to just daven now. To be yaktim tefillah letzara, to daven before the tzaras come, and that way completely circumvent any need for tzaras, any need for asinus, any need for machlis, Rachman Litzan. When we're in a good situation, that's when you should really be doubling down your tefillah. This is what we learned from Nayach. If Nayach would have only davened when things were relatively good, before everything happened, it would have been so easy to put things back together. But once, you know, once Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, all the king's men, you know, can't put him back together. It's very hard. Once things are broken, it's very hard to fix, but you can avoid things from breaking in the first place. That's the kayach of tefillah. Tefillah works after tragedy strike, but it's much harder. The Stifel used to say that if Rachman Litzlan, a person is sick with cancer, le'aleinu, or the yenamachla, as they call it, don't tell too many people about it. If you can tell as few people, as obviously there are certain people that have to know, but don't spread it around, because once it's out there, it's very hard for the rabbi. It's already begeder nase to reverse that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like performing overt miracles. But the point is that in order to stop a machla, once the machla starts, it's a miracle. But you don't need to come on to miracles if you're able to avert the miracles, head them off before they begin. Head the machlas and all the tragedies off before they begin. If Nayach had done that, there wouldn't be a mabul. If Klal Yisrael had done that, there wouldn't be a churban. And if we would do it, then we could avoid a lot of the tsaris that Rachman Litzlan might be in store for Klal Yisrael, but we could stop it ourselves. We could be the Nayach of the Dar and say, I want to daven to the Rabbi Shalom that something, that nothing should happen before it happens. That's a hero. A hero is not coming to the rescue after the tragedy is over, but it's when you're able to make sure that the tragedies don't start. And that's I think, something that's a very important thing for us to think about, because dafka, when things are good and we sort of coast during that time in terms of our tefillah, that's the time that we should double down in our tefillahs and cry and be mispal to the Rabbeinu Shalom with Hallel, with Haidah, and with Za'aka, with Bechia, with all the very important facets of Tefillah, dafka, when things are good.
I only